Hi, it's Elise.
And this is Hannah.
And this is episode 8 of Love Her, Leave Her Wild.
Woohoo!
I didn't really feel that this time, Hannah. It's
because someone stole it, so now I need to come up with something better.
Who stole it?
He took my spot. He replaced me.
He filled in for you while you were gone on your Utah boyfriend trip.
I actually appreciated it. I was like, oh, it's like I'm still there.
Nick is typing. He probably heard you talking about him. So I'd like to start off the episode by this amazing comment that we received. I think we're going to do this each time, whether it's messages, comments, whatever it may be. So this is something that stood out to me. I love the podcast. This is from EELW1212. I love the podcast. I binged all 6 episodes and can't wait for more. I'm not divorced, dating, or even a mom to living children, but I love you guys and your relationship. Your honesty and humor are my favorite aspects of the podcast. Please keep it up.
Aww, thanks, LL something something.
1212. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
I like hearing that.
Yeah, me too. I love when we get messages from everybody. It really means a lot to me.
I know it's fun seeing like who actually listens to them. Are even people that are like friends. And I was like, oh, I didn't expect you to actually listen to it.
I know. One of my best friends just started listening to it. Jamie.
Nice. Yeah. Oh yeah. I saw her little message.
Yeah. So she's going through them all. And I love that people can binge us.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
I know.
We're bingeable.
Yes.
Netflix. Is that even a word?
Not Netflix and chill, but we're
podcasts and relax.
There you go.
I know. Okay. So today's episode, I took this from one of the submissions to my link in my bio on Flicks on Fleek. And someone wanted us to talk about being more yourself, like truly rediscovering you. I don't know who I am anymore and haven't in years, and I legitimately feel lost and out of place.
Same.
Yeah. So finding yourself, huh? That's like a big deal.
Yeah.
Which you and I talked about, and can I just say that I am getting over really bad allergies or some sinus cold. So my voice is a little
sexy and raspy. Yes. And Sophia Bushy.
Yes. And a little Phoebe Buffay, smelly cat. So bear with me here. But you and I talked about this, and we were talking about how you rediscover yourself several times in your life.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think that's something that just continuously happens. And if it doesn't, there's probably a problem.
Yeah.
You're not because, growing.
Yeah. We're just always, even if nothing dramatic happens, just you're constantly evolving.
Right.
Different stages in life from like high school. No one is the same person they were in high school. I mean,
I wouldn't say no one.
Hopefully you're not.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing to not be, because in high school, you don't really know anything. You think you do, but you don't. And so just, I feel like realizing that it's not a bad thing to find yourself and starting that journey and like making it fun and exciting rather than feeling lost. It's like, you get to date yourself. You get to know yourself. Like, you know, you get to make yourself a priority in those moments, because you kind of have to. So,
Yeah.
Could be fun. Could be scary. Sometimes it's really scary. Right now it's really scary.
I mean, I think it has a lot to do with growth.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's certain big milestones where you find yourself. So, you know, the switch from high school to college, if you go to college, or high school to just general adulthood. Mm-hmm. If that's what you do, I think that's one big switch. You know, because you're kind of locked into a building like 7 hours a day, with these people, and some of them are your friends just because you're kind of occupying the same space. And so when you move on from that and you become an adult in quotes, you know, that's another kind of finding yourself, you know, in your identity in the world. And you start making friends that are, you know, have to do with like your actual likes and dislikes, and pulling away a bit from your parents and everything else. And I think that's one first big step in finding yourself.
Yeah. I agree. That's a big one. I think that's the big one, the first big one.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then college is, I mean, I didn't really go to college, but I still had a lot of finding myself in my small little tiny Bible college, but that one's more like, I feel like finding out who you are outside of your parents and like the rules you've been set up with your whole life, and like kind of testing those boundaries and waters, and like figuring out if who you are is who you want to be or who you were just like kind of groomed to be.
Yeah.
And then what's after that? I mean, it depends. Marriage, if you're, that's your thing, or career, whatever your career is, or, you know, going from student to like career is huge. Not something I ever experienced.
I did. I went from student, college student, to career. And that was a very like big focus in my life, was career for my 20s. But I still had fun. I still really felt like, even though it was such a big focus, I still was doing things that I love to do. I still traveled. I, you know, went places with my friends. I drank, I had fun. I was merry. I dated, I did all of the things. For me though, the biggest change was marriage.
Yeah. For me, I think it was mom.
Yeah. Marriage. Well, yeah, you're right. Mine coincided.
Yeah.
So I had Felicity, and then 2 months later I got married.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So I became a mom and a wife about the exact same time.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a year between, I mean, I got married. I pretty much was a wife as a girlfriend. So that transition wasn't very hard. It just, that one felt natural. Because the kind of, well, no, that's a lie. I take that back. I was more of a mom as a girlfriend. So maybe I skipped the whole wife thing, because I was a very mothering wife, which is what he liked and wanted. And then once I became a mom, like a real mom to my own child, the transition of like learning to be an actual wife, it was, I didn't even know what to do, because I had been like a mom, and now I have like a legit kid. And so figuring out that wife role. So maybe you're right. Maybe it is wife. It was wife too, because mom just definitely felt more natural. I mean, it was shocking, because it was like, hey, there's your child with special needs. And I'm just like, wait, what? My husband's gone. I'm doing this alone. Like, but.
Well, and I think, you know, you stop being selfish. You can't be selfish anymore once you become a mom.
Yeah.
You know, it's your kid first.
Yeah.
And then your husband first. Which eventually allows you, well, eventually allows you to lose yourself. For me, it did.
Yeah.
Because I put 100% work ethic in every part of my life. And that included my marriage. And so I tried to be the best mom I could and the best wife I could. And in doing so, Elise left the building.
Yeah.
I was gone.
Yeah.
All my dreams, all my hopes, all of my passions gone. And I didn't even see it coming.
Yeah.
Don't sound so sad,
Hannah. I'm just like, I remember those. I mean, I wasn't the same wife-wise. I feel like I never actually got, now that I'm thinking about it, to be a wife, because he was gone so much all the time, just military. And, so it was just mom for me. Everything was, it was like kind of like being a single mom, even though I didn't have the financial burden of it my whole marriage, because he missed the pregnancy and the birth. And then, you know, from then on, he was just constantly gone with work and military stuff. So to me, I just lost myself in being a mom. Like, I didn't matter as long as she was, you know, healthy and alive and kicking. I just totally forgot about everything else that needed focus other than being a mom. So, which, you know, ruined my marriage. So,
yeah, no, that I guess we have two different kind of stories then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not give it my like marriage my all like you did. To me, it was just like it became unimportant when he wasn't there. You know, I was literally doing it all by myself. So
yeah,
it's like I didn't really have a husband. I had this like this husband that showed up every once in a while when he wasn't working, and you know, he didn't do family vacations with us because military and holidays he wasn't there. I mean, I feel like that's a typical like probably first responder life and like military life, but yeah, I didn't have the opportunity. Maybe no, I probably had multiple opportunities if I tried, but yeah, no, it was being lost as a mom, single mom, feeling like a single mom, special needs mom.
Yeah, I didn't feel well. No, I didn't feel like a single mom. I mean, I did everything.
Yeah,
but you know, and I mean everything for me. I constantly was trying to make sure my husband was happy, and I was trying to advocate for my child. And like, you know, I was grieving over this diagnosis, and then I threw myself into the diagnosis, and, you know, I was like, okay, well, this is what I have. So let's change the world. And so I was constantly working with Felicity on her therapies that we were supposed to be working on, and you know, doing that, and then making dinner and worrying. Mm-hmm. I would say that like I was worrying 99% of the time about everything, especially having to do with my child, and then wondering if my husband was happy, because he seems like he was always miserable even though I tried so damn hard. And then I just got lost completely. Everything, I didn't even realize it. That's the worst part, is I didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
I was working so damn hard for everybody but myself. And you don't know it until you're out of it. When you're like in the thick of it, it's like you're at war, you're at this battle.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I feel like you're in a battle. Like a warrior, a battle, like that's all you're doing is like putting out fires, you know, thinking about 10 steps ahead, and, you know, whether your child has special needs or not. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, what are they wearing today? What appointments do they have? What do we have to do? What do I have to take out of the freezer? Whose party do we have to go to do this weekend? Did I get a gift for that party? Bills and family, and if you're arguing or whatever. And it's so easy just to like, that's it. You're in battle, and it's like a never ending battle.
Becoming a wife and a mom, no one really tells you. Everyone hypes you up about this new like role that you're taking on and this new identity you're going to have. And no one tells you like, no, you're still you. This is just something like a new step in your journey or chapter in your book. You know, it's like, oh no, now you're a wife. And you're like, oh fuck, I'm a wife. What does that mean? Let me like, you know, do all the things that makes me a wife. Or it's like, oh, I'm a mom. Let me now learn how to be the best mom who breastfeeds, or, you know, has the right formula, because apparently you can have a wrong formula. I didn't know that because all my kids are breastfed, but you know, it's just each like identity or role that we take on, there's like so much to it that social media and like the world just fill you with. And then you just kind of even forget. No one talks about, you know, remaining who you are and staying to yourself, and it's like, what, how are you, you know?
Yeah,
when you exactly. have a baby, or it's like you get married and then it's like, oh, so how's marriage? And it's like, okay, I mean, what about, how about me? Like, you know, it's like, when are you gonna have kids? And it's like, the next step now, it's kids. And then it's like, oh well, god, that sucks, life's hard. I couldn't yeah. do what you do. And then yeah
you yeah just... no one really tells you, no one says to you, listen, well, maybe they do, they didn't tell me this though, you know, remember that you are still who you are and you still need to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Go for your passions. You know, live for yourself sometimes too. And that it's important to do that and to keep your individuality and la, 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 la. No, even if they did say that, I think I'd be so like, I'm still on the battlefield, man.
I know. I heard you say that. And I actually thought, my mom told me all those things. She said, really? Don't have kids right away. Have fun. Learn about yourself. Date your husband. Wait, travel the world. Do all the things you want to do. Learn who you are at this age in your life. And then, you know, when you figure that out, settle down, have kids, blah, blah, blah. And she always told me that. Even after I had kids, she's like, I told you, I told, and I'm just like, okay, mom, I just wanted to be a mom like you. I wanted to be like you.
Okay. But still, I mean, I was older when I had Felicity.
Yeah.
You know, so like, I still felt the same things any single or single mom still felt the things any new mom would feel. And in a new marriage, like, I did all of the things, I knew myself, but guess what? You're a different self when you're married with a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Than you were before.
Yeah.
And that's just facts. And I didn't, like I said, you're when you're in the middle of this constant battlefield, you have like one focus, which is just getting through.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And making sure that your team, what do you call it? What do you call people on your command, what's army talk?
Your platoon.
Yes, your platoon. So yeah. You have to make sure your platoon is safe, right?
Yeah.
So that's how you feel as like the wife and the mom, is that you're on this battlefield and you have to make sure your platoon is safe. And that is your focus.
Yeah. No one really sits there and talk like, yeah.
You know, no one takes the time out on the battlefield and like whistle like, time out. How you doing, soldier? What do you want to do, soldier?
Let's talk about
self-care. You know what? Fuck self-care. I hate self-care. They used to make that. I used to work for the state for Child Protective Services. And they would talk to us all the time about, like, because obviously it's a very tough job. And they would just tell us all the time, you know, you need to make sure you're doing self-care. I'm like,
you don't like self-care?
Okay, let me tell you what self-care does sometimes. People talk about it so often that you almost feel stressed that you're not doing it or to do it. And then it just becomes another thing on your to-do list.
Mm, yeah.
You know? So it's like, stop with the self-care bullshit. Just take time out. And self-care doesn't have to be pedicures or massages or whatever. Self-care can actually be work.
Yeah. Like you doing this.
This is my self-care, I guess. You know me, I'm like insane when it comes to like things that I want to work at. I can be a little annoying. I know this.
You're not annoying. I do have to say, I woke up in a panic this morning and I was like, fuck. Was that today?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was today. God.
Yeah, because she was supposed to record with me last night and I'm waiting and waiting. Mind you, it's 2 hours later here where I would normally be in bed, but yeah, she didn't show up. So you almost got fired. Just kidding.
Oh, really? Who's going to replace me?
Nick. Just kidding. Mm-hmm. Then it would just all be about sex and nobody wants that all the time.
Well,
oh man,
I would never say no.
I'm not taking that out.
No, it's fine.
So So anyway, sorry.
What were we talking about?
I don't know.
Oh, throwing yourself, work, self-care.
Okay, yes. And work can be self-care, whether it's something like this. If it's writing for me, it's DIY projects. Mm-hmm. It makes me really happy. So self-care can be whatever makes you happy. But
yeah,
when I say this, please know that this was not me doing this within my marriage.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, and there was no time, really.
No.
I feel like you have more time for self-care, honestly, as a single mom. 100%, I feel like I have more time.
Well, that is if you have any support or the father is involved with his child.
True.
Because
I have support. I don't have the father involved. Right. But
you do have a little support here and there.
But don't you feel like even if, say, I didn't have my dad's financial support, the night times are still so much more time to yourself to do whatever those things are, because you don't have a husband that's like, I need this, I need this. So, you know, you get those breaks.
When they want sex.
How do we just go from like talking about wanting sex to now we're like, oh my God, when they're like, okay, have sex with me, please.
Well, it's not like that when you have a husband who helps out and appreciates you and sees you and all of the things. So when you don't have that, then you don't want sex.
Yeah.
So, but yes, you are right. When your kid's in bed and you can have that like decompression time that you wouldn't if you had a husband.
Yeah.
Most of the time. I can't speak for every lady.
Cause that's true.
Sometimes they may have this husband who's amazing, who just is like, honey, you take your time, girl.
Yeah. Let me try you a bath.
Yeah.
Like, I'll put the kids to bed. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Can that I exists? Have you? Where did you go?
I'm updating my dating profile right now, by the way.
To say what?
To say that I need that.
Oh yeah. Draw me a bath. Take care of my kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. And I'll,
I'll be the happiest person ever. And you want me to be happy. Because your life is happy.
Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, exactly. So this brings us back to, sorry, finding yourself, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I can only speak to what happened to me, which is I found myself after my separation.
But do you still, in this moment, feel like you know who you are? Or do you feel like you're yet again finding yourself?
Okay, so this is what happened to me. I got lost on the battlefield for years. And then I let down my platoon. And then I just kind of laid on the battlefield and cried for a little while. And then I got up and there were no more
soldiers.
There was me, and there was no more shooting, and the sky cleared up, and there was kind of like a meadow off to the side, and I started walking towards it and realizing that's when I lost myself. Even my sister had said, like, you weren't even you anymore.
Yeah.
And so you know that part in The Holiday when Kate Winslet talks about like the pieces of her soul coming back, which is one of my favorite scenes in the whole world. That's what I felt. I felt like pieces of my soul were slowly coming back. And then I met the first guy I actually, you know, dated for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And just some of the conversations we would have reminded me who I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the things that I loved and wanted. Like I saw this whole life for myself when I was younger. And then as I started to get older, I started making concessions. I started just being like, okay, this is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty awful, I think. And that's where I kind of made some wrong turns, is because I had this life. I had these expectations, which were high expectations for myself. About what I wanted to do and who I wanted to be with. And Man, I wanted to change the world. I wanted to do so much. I loved art and music and debating, like philosophy and politics, and just, I had all these amazing ideals, which were probably ridiculous, but I don't care. You know, I wanted, I don't know. And I told you before, like my ideal partner was Sunday morning in bed while, you know, one of us is writing and one of us is reading or, you know, whatever. And, then I married a guy who wore sports t-shirts all the time and never talked, didn't read anything except for school. And we did not listen to the same kind of music. In fact, music is such a big part of my life and always has been. It helped me kind of get away from my really hard childhood. I escaped through music. And in fact, I just stopped listening to music really when I was, you know, on the battlefield. And so I slowly, the pieces of my soul slowly started to come back. And that's how I've been finding myself again.
Yeah. I've truly, and I don't know why it happened this way. And I have felt this way my whole life, but I've never truly known who I am from a little girl, really. All I knew is that I never wanted to disappoint my mom. And so even as a little girl, you know, she wanted me to do gymnastics. So I was going to do gymnastics and I was going to be the best gymnast until I didn't want to do it anymore. And I let her down. And then from there, it was, you know, this is kind of really sad, but we got into Gilmore Girls, and I was going to be Rory. I was going to be, you know, super great at school. I loved writing and journaling, and me and my mom were going to have this relationship, and like Lorelai and Rory, and I was going to be Rory. That was my next identity. Because, you know, my mom loved that idea for me, going to Yale or Harvard or some Ivy League school. And turns out I'm not that smart. So that was not in the cards for me. So I let her down both sports academically, and then what's the word for smarts?
Well, I would say academically.
Wait, what did I say?
You, I let her down sports-wise and academically.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're right. Okay, I did. See, there you go. Sports-wise and academically, I let her down. And then it was constantly trying to find something that she was really excited for me to do. And I really just wanted to be a wife and a mom. And that became, my next identity. And then turns out I wasn't the best wife, maybe, possibly. I was young, got married for all the wrong reasons. So if I tried again, it'd be different. But I just never really knew who I was ever from the beginning of my life. I just kind of took on these roles that I felt like would make my mom proud, without figuring out who I was and what I wanted. And now that she's gone, I realize a lot of what I wanted was to be the best parts of her, and figuring out how that like kind of formed into who I was. Still figuring that out. I feel like after my divorce, I felt free and I felt like I got to experience that and figure that out and feel what, you know, made me happy and gave me purpose in life and passion. And turns out that was artsy stuff. And I didn't know I was artsy at all. I love gymnastics and I was good at it, but I didn't have the drive to make it my whole life mission. And so I quit that when I, you know, wanted to have a life. And then academically wasn't my thing. I really liked writing and I liked being in school and that like social aspect of it. I never really had an outlet for art, I think. until the divorce. And then I got into like, you know, some photography, and then kind of baking and cooking and now earrings and clay and, back, I'm like getting back into like writing and poetry and stuff. And none of that would have, I wouldn't have had the time to do that if I was still married. And even if I was, it would have been like here and there. It wouldn't have been something I could do almost every day. And then I felt like I was, you know, getting a hold of myself and figuring out who I was and what I wanted with my life and this goal and this plan that I had. And then I started dating and I was like, oh, I'm kind of questioning myself again, because then you have this girlfriend role and then it's like, okay, not that I had a, I was a girlfriend yet, but like you're dating, you're setting yourself up for that and figuring out what you want. And like, do you, is this person, you know, someone you just want to have fun with, or can you see yourself dating them? What does that look like for me? And then you're kind of like, when you take on another person in your life, you kind of do start to forget about yourself. So then I started dating just to date for me, and then felt like I was finding myself again. And then I was real confident. Life was fucking great. I had plans and I had moves, passions and desires. And then my mom died and I was like, what the fuck do I do now? Who am I? I don't know. Who am I when I've literally lived my whole life trying to be someone that would not disappoint her and make her happy and proud, and now she's gone? And it's like I lost, and I will, I forever have lost a part of myself that died with her, because that part of me that just desired to make her proud, I can't. That's, it's not a option now. And you know, people will be like, oh, you could still make your mom proud, blah blah blah, she's looking down, but she's not like, she's not here with me, she's not, you know, in my daily life, that's gonna like touch my shoulder and be like, that was awesome, like that makes me proud of you, you did great. It's like I'm actually living a life for the rest of my life without my mom. So
like, could you say that now you can focus on making yourself proud?
Yeah, and that's new, and that is exciting, but it's still like I my whole life, 28 years of my life, was all I wanted to do was make my mom proud.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, now that's not an option. Like that card is no longer on the table. So what are you going to do? It's like that part died, and that's okay. That part of Hannah died. She doesn't, you know, get to do all these things for the approval of her mom, which is also a good thing, because the approval of my mother was very hard to come by, and put a lot of stress on my life, and just pressure. So now I do get to, you know, make myself proud and hopefully make my kids proud. And that'll be my only, you know, focus, I think. And the only people that matter is their approval, really. Which is freeing, but scary and just different and new. And it's like, lost, I guess, is really, because I don't know this version of me. I don't know who I am. I don't know what it's like to have a Hannah without a mom. She's has not existed until 4 months ago. Yeah. So, it's, yeah,
scary and exciting, but just another way that, you know, life changes, that you change.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to continuously find yourself, because it's all through growth.
Yeah.
But there are still stagnant times in our lives where it doesn't feel like we're like going anywhere, doing anything.
Yeah.
But
and you can find yourself and love yourself and be like, awesome. Like I was, you know, before she died, and I was like, I had this plan. And then whether it's something traumatic or not, I feel like just knowing that who we are, we're never, ever going to stay that way. Even like on the daily, like you just never know what can happen, and not in a traumatic way either. Just like, you know, you could wake up one day and something could be on the news that just triggers you, and you're like, I have a passion for that all of a sudden. And you're like, what? Where do I even begin? How do I start with this? Like, it's all okay. Mm-hmm. And losing yourself and finding yourself is just, it's a date. I feel like it's a date. You have to make it your daily routine.
Well,
not to lose yourself, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I feel like there are stagnant times in our lives where we're not really growing. We're not really, there's not much happening in our lives. And it kind of feels like a rut. But mm-hmm. I also think those are super important times that it gives us a break from the last big event to the next big event to process
mm-hmm.
and kind of feel like what we've learned and how we go forward with that before the next big event comes, whether it's a happy event or a tragic event or a dynamic change. Mm-hmm. So I think though it's really important for us to take those times where it feels like we're in a rut, but to really grow in that space, you know, it's always changing. I would say the most growth that I've had though is from the time I separated from my ex mm-hmm. to now.
Oh yeah.
And I look forward to continuing to grow and never pouring that much of myself into someone and not into myself at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I think that's the biggest thing is like when you're on the battlefields, it's like that airplane safety, you know, the little flight attendants come up and they're like, mm-hmm. grab your mask and put the mask on yourself first, then to your partner. Right. So it's grabbing the mask and putting it on yourself instead of your platoon.
Actually do that.
What?
I always think about that. I always think about that too.
And I'm always like, oh, I'm putting it like on my kid first.
Is next. 100% I'm not putting it on my own face.
I agree on that totally. I even probably my face looks like, yeah, right.
Like, yeah, you dumbass. I'm not doing that.
It's like, oh, hey, 5-year-old daughter, let me give myself
figure
first.
It out. Just wait.
Just wait. I gotta save myself. Hold on. I gotta save myself, girl.
Yeah, there's no way that I would do that.
But I understand why they say that, and I understand the I don't know analogy.
It's like you can't help anyone if you can't help, you know, yourself.
Yes,
you can't love anyone if you don't love yourself. You can't, you know.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. But I think in going forward in my life and what's happened and how I went through a marriage and how I'm going through being single again and dating and being a mom and all of the things that I've learned thus far. And trust me, I have a lot to learn. Because, and yes, I am older than you, but in the big scheme of things, am I that old?
No.
Oh, shut up, Hannah.
Yeah, you're not. You're only, 3 years older than Renee?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're not old to me.
But I do have a lot left to learn. But this is what I have learned is that going forward, it's okay to pour a lot of myself into someone I love. But I need to also pour that same amount into myself.
Yeah.
Like I'm not my platoon leader. I'm part mm-hmm. of the platoon in certain ways, you know? And then in other ways, like it's okay to take a break and walk into the meadow.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess that would be my biggest takeaway is that if you're in a marriage right now, if you're a mom or both, or a single mom or any of that, and you feel like you've lost yourself, you have to stop. You have to stop and walk off the battlefield for a little bit. And remember that it's admirable that you're pouring in so much work into your family or into your career or whatever it is that you've lost yourself in. I get it. That's good. Good for you. You know, that's a lot of work ethic. I feel that. I applaud you. But you need to take that same amount of ethic and put it into yourself.
Yeah.
And stop forgetting you. Because in the end, and I always tell you this, my friend Lisa always says, at the end of the day, in the end, I always think to myself, what am I going to think about on my deathbed? That's something I always think about. And I don't want to look back and think about how I did everything for everybody else. And that's it.
You don't, is that what you said? You don't want it.
I don't want to do that. I want to think of all the things that made me happy and proud of myself and And, you know, just.
That's funny because you spend more time.
Shut it.
On other people.
I do. Do I? So, now?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
You eat. Yeah. Oh, my God. Do we need to talk about all the other times?
What other times? What do you mean?
That you don't. You'll go out with a guy because you feel bad for him. You think he's ugly. There's nothing there. You'll literally go out with him because you feel bad. You've wasted a day. You've wasted.
You literally just made me spit my water everywhere.
It's true. When that time, that Saturday that you had, did it get on your screen?
Yes. When you said that he's ugly.
You do. You're like, oh no, he's not cute. And I'm like, okay, so why are we going forward here? You're not attracted to him. And then you'll feel bad.
I do feel bad.
You'll have a phone call with him and you feel bad his whole life. And then it's like, fuck, that was awful. But at this point, now he's told you his whole life. So you feel even worse for him. So then you'll talk to him again and then go on a date with him. And the date's awfully awful. And then you're just like, oh, let me know when you get home. And then still talk to them.
Not all the time. I told the one guy, thanks for the wine. No, I did say, let me know when you get home.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So like spend that time on you. Okay. When the guy is not attractive and the conversation is awful and you already know he's not even close.
Okay. But I did that with the professor.
You went out with him.
Yes. Well, yeah, you're right. I did go out with him and I wasn't feeling it, but I went out.
You
with
bailed
him.
On the first one.
I did.
The first date. And then still went out with him knowing that there was not going to be anything there.
Well,
you felt bad. Look at you. You were just going to say it. I felt bad. So that Saturday, you know what you could have done for yourself and all your self-care and
but
all
I did. The
things that you need? You spent it on a man. That you knew it was going to go anywhere with.
No, what I did was I got buzzed at lunch with him. Okay. Uh-huh. I got buzzed off of my favorite drinks. I had some good
Does food. He listen to these?
No.
Okay. Let's go.
He unmatched me, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. So what I did was we had a lunch date. I got good and buzzed and I had some good food and then I came home and I did some stuff for myself. And then I went over to my friend's house and had some drinks and played some games.
That's true. I mean, sometimes getting dates are fun, even if they're awful.
Yeah. I mean, I would be more apt to criticize myself had I continued to go out with him, even though I didn't feel anything. And shut it. I know what you're going to say because it was about the guy before him.
Okay, no. Nothing.
He did make me laugh. Whatever. But I'm talking about in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. No, that's I agree with you because I'm doing the same thing right now.
Yeah. It's just to me, I mean, I know ultimately. I still say this to you all the time, though. I'm not ready to find my person.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Because I'm like so into finding myself again.
Yeah.
And getting my hot girl shit done.
Yeah.
You know, look how much I've done since I split with my ex.
Yeah.
Imagine what I can do in another year.
That's true.
So.
I mean, yeah. I feel like I'm realizing a cycle for myself is that when I feel like I'm lost, I pour myself into somebody else because I don't know what to pour into myself.
That's not good.
Yeah. I feel like in this moment, it's not awful. Because
I feel like you should be pouring a lot into yourself right now.
No, totally. I need to refocus and you know, yes. Get my passion and desire back. Cause even just being with him for the 10 days in Utah and like seeing how excited and passionate and like stoked on life he was with skydiving. And I was just like, he's doing something he loves. And that makes him fucking happy.
Yeah.
And I get to like share in that. was awesome, but I was sitting there a lot of the times like, God, I don't even know what makes me happy anymore. Other than him and my kids, of course, but like I can't find anything right now that just like lights my soul on fire. And like I miss that. I want that. But I don't know what it is. So then I just pour into loving on him, which makes me feel good, you know. It makes me feel purposeful and good things, but it's not pouring into me. So,
which is who needs it most.
Yeah. But I'm also realizing in this season of my life, for the first time ever, my therapist pointed out, I'm very codependent.
Oh.
I've never been codependent ever, ever in my relationships. Let me just say, my family maybe, but relationships, never have I been dependent on my partner until now.
So in the end, we're always finding ourselves. Like, it's a constant changing thing.
Yeah.
You know,
always.
And I think when you're on the battlefield, you know, like I said, you just remember that, like, it's not just you making sure your platoon is safe.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pour all of that amount of energy into your spouse, your kids, your career, whatever, make sure you're pouring it into who you are too.
Truth.
And the whole self-care thing, whatever that is for you, you do it. And if it's work, if it's different kind of work, projects, whatever it is, you do you. And don't make it another chore on your damn to-do list, because then it just stresses you out more.
Yeah.
So we are working on a website, which will be up. But until then, you could still submit topics that you want to cover or questions that you have to the link in my bio at @flix_on_fleek. In the submission in my link, we are sponsored by Rose and Grace. Check them out on Instagram and Facebook. Sponsored by my upcoming book of the same name, Love Her, Leave Her Wild. We're sponsored by Dear Mom, a nonprofit that supports mothers with kids with Down syndrome, and Never Alone at North. Give them some love on Instagram. So thank y'all for listening, and all of your reviews on Apple. Please continue to review us. Write those reviews, give those stars, follow, subscribe, all of the things. I feel like I'm on a YouTube channel right now, but it is important. And we will talk to you next time.
Sounds good.
All right. Bye.
Bye.